Hi, it's Rebecca Whitman, your host of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I'm a top-rated life coach, an international best-selling author, and a multi-passionate entrepreneur. I'm on a mission to help you go from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. The experts on this show will help you achieve work-life balance so that you can experience abundance in seven pillars of life: spirituality, health, emotions, romance, mindset, social, and financial life. When you have all seven pillars of life in alignment, you are balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Let's go.
Hi, ladies. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of the Mindset Makeover here on the Masterclass. I am so excited to introduce you to our next guest, Miss Rebecca Whitman. She is, now I have to look at my notes because there's a lot going on here with you, Rebecca. You are a life and success coach, an abundance mentor. You have a podcast host, a best-selling author. There's so much that we could talk about. Can you tell me a little bit about how you got started and exactly what you do to serve women?
Yes. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on your summit. I'm so excited to be here, Ashley. And I help women go from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. I do that with my podcast called The Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I also coach women both one-on-one and group. And I've written three books. One is called How to Make a Six-Figure Income Working Part-Time. I've also co-written a book called Business Life Universe, Volume 3, and Phenomenal Feminine Entrepreneurs.
Congratulations. That's so exciting, just going down your list of accomplishments. So I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about, through those different platforms, exactly how you serve women. You said going from burnt out to, let me go back and look, balanced, beautiful, and abundant, which I think is something that all women would love to say about themselves, that I live a balanced, beautiful, and abundant life. What would be the first step that someone could take to say that about themselves?
Yeah, and I forgot to answer the second part of your first question, a little bit about my story, how I got into it.
All right, yes.
So I was unhappily married in couples counseling, and I was sitting in a therapist's office fighting with my husband. And she asked me, do you want to be married? And I said, I want a life of ease, grace, and spiritual dignity. And after that, I soon filed for divorce. Soon after that, my dad started declining in a nursing home. So literally, as my dad was dying, my marriage was unraveling. And it was a very just toxic divorce, as many are. And in one of the last conversations with my dad, he said, Rebecca, I want you to write something. And I had no idea what I was going to write. And fast forward to a few months later, my divorce was finalized. My dad had made his transition, sadly. I was sitting in my financial planner's office, and he was looking at my portfolio, seeing that I was worth over $1 million. And he's like, I know you had the worst year ever. You've lost your dad and your marriage, but you're financially fit. You're physically fit. You come in here and work out clothes. You have a great attitude. Why don't you empower other women and teach them how you live your life? And so I was like, that's exactly what I'm going to write. So I wrote this book. It's called How to Make a Six-Figure Income Working Part-Time. It's not a business plan or a get-rich-quick scheme. It's how I live my life. I divide it into seven pillars of abundance: spirituality, fitness, emotions, romance, mindset, social, and financial. And when you have all seven pillars of life in alignment, you can manifest anything you want. So recently, I did find the love of my life. I got married again 10 months ago in Malibu. It was a dream wedding. And my business is thriving. I feel like in the best shape of my life. And things are just going incredibly well because I'm living within these seven pillars of abundance.
That is amazing. And I think that is definitely, you know, what women want to be able to say about themselves, right? They want to say that they feel abundant in all areas of their life, that not, you know, it's going really great over here, but all of this is suffering. So I'm so excited to dive into some of this with you. Now, you inspire and you coach women to be unapologetically authentic. And I'm sure this plays into the 7 pillars that you coach women through. But can you expand on what that means to be unapologetically authentic and give women watching a few steps to start living more authentically themselves?
Yes. Well, I'm a recovering people pleaser. I used to wrap myself into a pretzel to figure out what the person that I was talking to wanted from me. And I was ending up drained, depleted, resentful. So now I have learned that I'm not for everyone, and that's okay to be unapologetically authentic. And the friends and the clients and the people that are gravitated toward my authentic self are going to be 100% for me. And the people who are not are going to be, they're going to go away. And I'm no longer scared to lose people. And I have, the more in my authenticity I've gotten, the more of a voice I've gotten online, I've lost people. You know, I've lost, you know, some email subscribers, or I've lost friends. And that's okay, because I'd rather have people that are really, truly hearing what I'm saying and resonating versus me just being like a wishy-washy people pleaser and pleasing everyone, but not really owning my power, my voice.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that's definitely something that I strive for as well, to be authentic and to be genuine. And I know that is something that a lot of women struggle with, especially because we so easily fall into the comparison trap you know, with social media and in trying to live up to how everyone else, you know, seems to have it all together type of thing. So when we're, you know, trying to navigate through all of this, how is it that women can start to live more genuinely and authentically without having to worry about that judgment, without having to worry about, you know, fear of hurting someone's feelings or losing friends? You know, how can we start to navigate through that?
I would say to listen to your intuition. And if someone asks you a question or asks you to do something, if it's not a heck yes, it's a heck no. There's no such thing as a heck maybe. Walk away from all the heck maybes, because you really don't want to do it. And I tell women, do not do anything out of guilt, obligation, or fear. If you do things out of guilt, obligation, or fear, you are showing up, but you're not in your best self. You're not being authentic. It's better to say no to the hell maybes.
Right. Right. And to kind of go back to something you said earlier, you know, when you are showing up truly as yourself, you know, not everyone is going to resonate with you, and that's okay. But if you're on the flip side of that, if you are, you know, trying to be what you think people want, or you're trying to be more like this, you know, this person over here, you're losing out on those true connections for people that, you know, could be connecting with you if you showed up truly as you were. And, you know, it's kind of when I start to really think about that, because the connections that you're making when you're trying to be someone else or someone that you're not truly, those aren't going to be genuine. They're not going to be, you know, authentic connections. Whereas if you show up more as yourself and be truly who you are and not worry about, you know, the people that you could be missing out on, and you will find, you know, ultimately that is how you find those people in your life that will stick, that will hear you, that do, you know, vibe with what you're saying and all of that. So I love that that's what you talk about.
Yeah, your vibe attracts your tribe. So you will not find your true clients and your true friends and your true community unless you're being real. And you can't find other communities unless, you know, the coaches or the thought leaders are being real. So it's so important just to know that you can find your people when you're real and they can find you.
I mean, that is like a great little mindset shift. If you want to find people that truly resonate with who you are and what you have to offer, you have to show up as your authentic self. So, you know, just making that little shift is going to help, you know, everyone moving forward, whether it's in friendships, you know, jobs, if you're putting yourself out there in business, like obviously you want people that are going to be most connected to the real and authentic you. So I love that. Now I want to get back into these 7 pillars of abundance that you talk about. Can you explain more about what that is and how you know, coach women through that?
Yeah. So they are in order of importance. And don't get overwhelmed and say, oh my God, I have to do all seven in the same day. It's more of how you look at your lifestyle. So the first pillar is spirituality. I'm a huge believer in starting your day in that pillar and having a morning routine that encompasses prayer, meditation, you know, quiet, reflective time with God, whatever it is you pray to. God, universe, Jesus, Allah, Buddha, doesn't matter, higher power. The second thing is fitness. I also believe in starting your day with fitness. If you maybe have little kids and you can't start your day with it, do it at lunch. The earlier, the better, because right. I believe in body before business. And if we don't have our health, we cannot be of service to anyone. So a lot of women think, oh, I don't have time to work out because I'm taking care of the kids, or I'm, you know, doing this, cleaning the house, doing errands. But if you don't have your health, then you really can't be of service to anyone. So it's so important to find the time for exercise and eating healthy. The third pillar is emotions. So all emotions are coming from two base emotions, which are fear or love. So our goal is to take you from the fear channel to the love channel. Mm-hmm. And that is the fastest way to get there, to go from fear to love, is through gratitude. So I'm a huge believer in having a gratitude practice. Having that in your morning practice is great. You can also have it in your nighttime practice if you want to write what you're grateful for at the end of the day. But have gratitude, because the fear emotions are bitterness, jealousy, resentment, anger. The love emotions are bliss, contentment, satisfaction, happiness, compassion. So we want to be in the love channel as much as possible. The next one is romance. We all want romance in our lives. Your romance is going to affect your finance. So if you're happily in love, it's going to be easier for you to make money. If you're unhappily in a relationship, it is going to affect you financially. So I am a huge believer in keeping the romance. If you have a relationship, if you don't have a relationship, it's okay. I can show you how to get one. The next area is mindset. And that's the wonderful work that you guys are doing in Ashley Summit, which is actually called Mindset Makeover. So I love that. That's one of my pillars. Mindset is so important. We can always up level. We can always learn from summits and podcasts and Audibles and YouTubes. This is really the golden age of mindset work. The next pillar is social. Your vibe attracts your tribe, like I said. So I believe that if you have a goal or a dream, you can find a coach, you can find a community of other people who have the same goal or dream and that have already achieved it. And if they can do it, they can show you exactly how to do it. And finally, financial. Now, Ashley, everybody thinks that finance is first. Everybody thinks, I'll make a ton of money, I'll hire a personal trainer, I'll get really fit, I'll meet the love of my life, we'll socialize with other couples, we'll do our mindset work together, we'll go to seminars. But in my personal life experience, finances were the last thing to come into play, because when I'm happy, when I'm fit, when I have great friends, when I'm romantically happy, then it's a lot easier to attract people, places, opportunities, which lead to money.
Right. And I love that you brought that up. Just hopefully that just that right there will open some eyes. You know, if people have need to take a look at their priorities, because that's a great, how you just went through everything is a great bar for people to be able to, you know, to measure where their current priority list is and if they need to make any shifts or adjustments through that. One thing I wanted to come back to, I was making notes as you were talking, Rebecca, when you were talking about the emotions and that, you know, we operate either out of like fear or love. And when you were talking about the power of gratitude, I just thought when we're in gratitude, we can't be in fear at the same time. You know, they're kind of like mutually exclusive almost. And so I know in my life, when I have, you know, really put my gratitude practice, put a lot of effort into my gratitude practice, like it's just so powerful, because you can't operate out of fear when you're in gratitude, when you're actively ingratitude and seeking for things to be grateful for instead of things to be fearful, or, you know, things that, like, all the other emotions that you said that come with fear, like, when you're just looking for the negatives, it's so powerful when you shift that, and gratitude is such a powerful way to do that. Can you talk about maybe how you use gratitude, or how you would coach women to start a gratitude practice?
Absolutely. Well, one of my free gifts is to give your listeners an abundance journal. Mm-hmm. And I have certain journal prompts. I met a woman when I was 19 named Janet, and I never saw her again. And I thought she was an angel. She's like, this is how you write like a daily journal. We called it the God journal. And there's all these questions that you ask. But I end the God journal with at least five things I'm grateful for, five things that are causing me fear, because I don't want to be in fear. I want to be in love. So I write a surrender list. So mm-hmm. I just write, I am grateful for, and 5 to 10 things. And then I surrender. I do, you know, a few things there, usually five. And then I end with thank you. Like, thank you is the number one. If you could have a mantra that you say in your head all day, because I know we're going to talk about things that women can do today, right, to shift your mindset. If you could just say that, like, every time you wash your hands, thank you for running water. You know, every time you get in your car, thank you for my car. Every time you pick up your phone, thank you. If you could just have that as like a running mantra in your life, you would up-level your vibration and get into the gratitude. And when you're grateful, you're like a magnet for opportunities, romance, health, everything that you want.
Absolutely. And I love that you brought that up, because that is something a lot of women say, you know, especially if their circumstances are out of control, or, you know, they're just in a really bad situation or going through a bad season, a really hard season, they'll just be like, I don't have anything to be grateful for. But just what you said, just everything as you go through the day, if you weren't able to wash your hands, if you didn't have running water, would you miss that? Are you grateful for that? Are you grateful that you were able to, like, stand up today and actually get out of the bed? You know, are you grateful that you have a vehicle, no matter what it looks like, that gets you from point A to B so you don't have to walk? You know, all of those things that we don't necessarily think about. We think we have to be grateful for these, like, you know, how amazing our life is going. But it can just be the smallest, simple things that just start your, you know, shift your brain and start that process of, now your mind and your brain are going to start looking for all of those little things to be grateful for. And the more that you do that, the further you get away from all of the negativity and what's missing and what's going wrong in your life. So that's such a powerful example of something that's so simple to do, but can have lasting, powerful effects. So thank you. So ladies, that one right there, just the thank you as you go through your day, that's, it sounds so simple, but I'm telling you, that would have like such amazing effects. Just like, as you said, Rebecca, you know, once you put it into practice and be consistent with it, like how that's could dramatically shift things for you.
And another thing is changing your I have to's to I get to's. Like, oh my God, I have to go to work. No, you get to go to work. Do you know how many people are unemployed? Oh, I have to get up early so I can get the kids to school. No, you get to get up early because you have kids. You know how many people are spending money on like crazy fertility treatments and not able to get pregnant? Like, every I have to is an I get to. And that's another way to shift into gratitude.
Absolutely. That is a powerful one that I have as well put into practice, shifting those I have to's into I get to's. And again, it's about being intentional with our thoughts. But it's those little shifts. They're very simple. They're very, you know, they seem very minute, but they can have such a big impact. But it's something that you have to be intentional about on a daily basis. But that would be, if you're taking notes, ladies, that would be one to take notes with, the daily thank yous as you go through your day. And then also just that when you find yourself saying, I have to do this. No, I get to do this. And really think about why, you know, you can shift into gratitude for whatever it is that you have, you know, you have to do at that moment. Such big ramifications come from those small little actions, making those small little shifts. I also want to go back. You had mentioned earlier, you know, talking about, you know, getting up early in the morning and have a morning routine and making yourself a priority. Like when you were going through this list, talking about the things that, you know, you could do for each one. But it all comes back to women have to make the decision to make themselves a priority. And I know for a lot of women that can be a struggle because we're busy, you know, we have work, we have kids, we want to take care of everyone else first. We always fall last on the list, or we feel guilty if we do spend too much time on ourselves. So how can you coach women through having to get over that hurdle that a lot of us do? Either we feel guilty or we just, you know, make excuses, we don't have the time, whatever, to know that how important that it's not just important, it's imperative to make themselves a priority. So how would you coach a woman into being able to make that shift for herself?
Well, this isn't my quote. I saw this on Instagram, but self-care is how you get your power back, ladies. I think that is so powerful.
Yes, it is.
Self-care isn't selfish. So a woman's energy is like a cup of tea. If you keep giving, 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 and showing up for everybody but yourself, eventually the cup of tea is going to be empty. And when you pour from an empty cup is when you get burned out, overwhelmed, drained, exhausted, depleted. You know, you're not your best self. You're cranky. So the way that women can actually show up and be the best mom, the best wife, the best friend, the best employee, the best boss is to fill your cup up first, to do the self-care, to get the 7 or 8 hours of sleep, to do the morning practice, to work out, even if it means getting up a half an hour or an hour early, and fill your cup up first. So then when you show up for the kids, for the husband, for the job, for the employees, you're actually pouring from a full cup. So it is really important that you prioritize your self-care over everything, because health is wealth. And if you have your health, you have every opportunity in the world. But if you don't have your health, you have no opportunity but to get your health back. And self-care is what it's going to keep you healthy in all areas of your life, emotionally, physically, spiritually.
Love that. Yes, it's so true. And I know that that can be a hard one for a lot of women, but it's definitely one thing I want to impress on the women who are attending this event, the importance of making yourself a priority. So hopefully you heard some of what Rebecca is sharing, because it's so true and it's so, so valuable. So which one of, how would you coach women through these 7 pillars? So would you tell them, depending on where they are in their life and maybe which one of the 7 pillars that you went through, is there one that you typically start with, or is it more based on, well, I'm kind of struggling in this area, so this is where I should start? How do you normally coach women to go through that?
Well, I have a free gift on my website. It's not part of the gift for this summit, but my website has a balance quiz, and it's kind of a quick snapshot of these areas of your life. And you can see, because there are certain areas, ladies, where you're crushing it. You're absolutely crushing it. Maybe you have a great social life and you go to like fun parties and meetings and events, but you don't have, you know, time to work out. I don't know, but there's always a few areas that you're crushing it. So it's good to celebrate that. And there's a couple areas where you need some support. So I start with, you know, helping women in the areas that they need support. And it's also good to, whatever's working in one area, you can actually take those same methods and apply them to the area that's working. For example, I've always been, you know, great at making money, great at sales. It's just been something that came really naturally to me, probably because I've never worried about it. It's always come naturally to me. And the romance was really struggling. So I actually had a coach. I'm a huge believer in hiring coaches. I've hired many. And he said, why don't you apply the same way of being to your romance that you are being in your finance? I'm like, oh my God, you're right. On my finance, I'm not worried about it. I know the bills are going to get paid every month. I know there's always more. I know that I'm, you know, going to meet the right kind of clients. And he's like, why don't you have that attitude toward dating? And I'm like, that's a great idea. So if you figured out a couple areas, it means you can have all 7 areas in alignment. You just need a little bit of tweaking here and there.
So there's a couple things, the way that I just want to come back to, even just the way that you worded when you were talking about, you know, we always have certain areas that we're crushing it, like you said. And then there's some areas, and I love that you say that we're not struggling, but that we need support. Because one thing I definitely want to keep impressing on the women as we go through this process, that there's no judgment. There's no judgment of ourselves for areas where we're lacking or that we do need more support. as we, you know, as we go through this process, just to reiterate that. So I loved how you put that so eloquently and so beautifully that, and there's no shame in that either. We need support. Like we always need support, and there's no shame in asking for that. And I love that you are advocating for getting coaches and getting help, or at the very least finding community of other women who are working towards the same goals, where you can find that, the camaraderie, the encouragement, the accountability. But I am definitely an advocate as well. I have several coaches myself too. Cause it's just to get there faster, stronger, better, quicker, you know, all of that is what a coach does for you. But I just love the way that you put it, you know, the areas where we need more support. So I just wanted to come back and highlight that, because
I trained myself not to say things that I don't want. So if I said you're struggling, then that would affirm that you're struggling. So that's another tip, is your words are like your advertisements to the boundaries of the universe. Your words hold power. Mm-hmm. And if you're always complaining about what's not going well in your life, then you're just going to create more of that. And right. If you start changing your words, it is a practice. It does take discipline, but think of it like food. You know, women were so deliberate with what we put into our mouths, you know, gluten-free or how many grams of fat or carbs or this or that. And we're like, oh, I'm only on this kind of a diet. And we're so particular, but we'll say anything.
Right.
What if we could be as particular with the words that we use as we are with the food going into our mouth? Your life would change.
So powerful. Love that. That's a great way to bring us into our ending. But yes, such a powerful way to say that, because just like the thoughts that we allow to take up space in our mind, the words that come out of our mouth, the words that we speak back to ourselves, the words that we speak over ourselves, they have power. And whether we're just joking around about it or not, or we just, you know, we undermindedly kind of cut ourselves down, it's just, they still hold power over us. So I think that's so beautiful. And it is a discipline. It is a shift, something that, you know, you have to be intentional, again, being intentional about it. But just those little shifts that you can start making that will have a very big impact. So thank you for pointing that out. Okay, let's end on this. If you could advise women to do one thing that they could start doing immediately that would give them a boost of confidence, what would that be?
Well, I would say to look in the mirror. It's really, really hard, and say your name. So I would say, Rebecca, I love you. I really, really, really love you. It's so hard. If you haven't done mirror work is really powerful. But if you could just start with saying that once a day and say, I love you to yourself, I really, really, really love you, you would be amazed how your life would change.
Absolutely. And that's so great. We're going to end with that. But I agree, because I've done that myself, and it is uncomfortable, and well, it's definitely uncomfortable, but then you feel kind of weird. You feel silly. You're just like, you know, it's hard to look at yourself like in the eye and start saying those things, but it does. It's again, those small things that you can easily dismiss, but if you actually start putting them into practice, they're going to have powerful results in your life. So Rebecca, you have been so amazing. Thank you for blessing us with your wisdom.
Thank you for having me. You asked such great questions. I'm so excited for the women and men that are listening to these interviews to get your blessing of the group of experts that you've put together and other gifts.
Thank you so much, Rebecca. If women want more Rebecca Whitman, where can they go and find you?
Yes, they can find me on my website, RebeccaElizabethWhitman.com. And you can also find me on Instagram, Twitter, Clubhouse at Rebecca E. Whitman, RebeccaEWhitman. And then I also have the free gift, the Abundance Journal that I mentioned, that has been my way to get my mindset right for the day. And if I don't have time to do it in the morning, I'll do it in the afternoon or evening. But I've done that every day for a couple decades. And I just am so grateful that I met that woman who's my angel, who showed me this God journal, and it's just transformed my life. And I'm so excited for you guys to get it too.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for giving, for passing along such a powerful gift, obviously something that's made such a huge impact in your own life. And I love this gift in particular because it's, if for the women who take it seriously and actually put forth the effort to take advantage of what you're giving them, it is going to give them a shift into making time for themselves. It's giving them that a little bit of a practice of how to set up a morning routine if they do it first thing in the morning, and they could, what they could easily do it in what, 5 or 10 minutes easily?
5 minutes, yeah.
So just those small little shifts, but if you start to do it, it'll have big results. So this, I am excited. I'm going to have to take a look at this one too, because it sounds amazing. And I know it's something that will bless you ladies if you actually take it and put it into practice. So again, Rebecca, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for sharing your wisdom. And I look forward to the next time that I speak with you.
I look forward to it as well. Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you so much, Rebecca. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. Please rate, subscribe, and review this podcast. If you or someone you know feels stuck and needs more abundance and balance in their life, please go to my link tree in the show notes to schedule your complimentary breakthrough call. I look forward to hearing from you, and we'll see you on the next podcast episode.